Today is the 17th of June, 2018, so now it's exactly 3 p.m. On a Sunday at Wuping Jingsa. So we are going to have our 76 lessons of the 6 Patriarch Sutta class. Let us get ready for Puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Adinadana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Musawada Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Surameraya Majapamadatana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us pay respect to Triple Jap. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. You all can be seated. Then just maintain some form of attention. Before we start, we will read the verse for opening the sutta. turn to the page before page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we are at page 383, yeah? But before we continue, I think we have these short notes. These short notes were done for the sharing on the 27th of May, 2018. This is lesson 75, our last lesson. The last two Sunday classes were cancelled because Miss Lee was not available. Okay, now I will go through the notes with you, just a revision. The first note is we need to understand Huineng's teaching in this very unique way. Huineng always bring us back to the self nature. So all cultivation goes back to the true self nature or true nature, or the oneness nature or the source of all things. So that's why we begin by sharing this. The self nature is the oneness nature, which is also the source of everything. Then, according to Huineng's poem, the famous poem that he wrote to counter Sun Xiu's poem, he said, originally there is nothing. Where can the dust alight? Bèn lái wú yú, hè chú rè chén ái. So here, dust, chén, means defilement or unwholesome mind state. It arises because of duality created by the mundane mind, via words, concept and idea. So these are very important understanding, fundamental to cultivation. The mundane mind creates the duality of good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, right and wrong, etc. It is impossible then to then use the mundane mind to do away with such duality, because the mundane mind is fighting its own creation, which always comes together as a pair. Like what we always understand. When you create one side, the other side manifests. So that's the reason why the mundane mind is always fighting its own creation, because this creation, which always come together as a pair, meaning if one does not create, then things are just the way they are, no right, no wrong, and no good, and no bad. So this is a very important fundamental understanding of duality. Duality exists within the mundane world. Duality exists because of mundane mind. So beyond the mundane, there is no duality. Then the third important point that one need to understand is, if the mundane mind does not create duality via delusion, the key word is delusion. If you are not deluded, then your mundane mind will not stir. Then the true mind can see things as they are. Because there is no more reaction or stirring of mind that give rise to duality. All of mental hindrance, sensual desire, ill will are the two aspects of duality. They are also the evil roots of greed and hatred, born of delusion. So the three evil roots are related. So delusion is the main problem. Delusion creates duality. The other two evolutes. Number four, the point four is also important. We must learn to use the mundane mind and yet not deceived by it. So as you cultivate, you will come to understand the form and mind is karmically conditioned for you to come to this existential world. It's not real, it's not you. Therefore, you have to learn to use it. Yeah. It's just a vehicle and a tool for you to come. So learn how to use it and yet not be deceived by it. Then do not waste time on tinted merits. Instead, work towards awakening the other silent mind. A lot of Buddhists or cultivators, they are more interested in cultivating merits. But before you have the right view, the wisdom, the enlightenment, your merits are always tinted merits. This type of merits are very, very, of very little significance, even though it's useful within the mundane existence, but it's of not much significance to a real cultivator. Because these are not pure merits or true merits. We call it tinted. We are tinted with wrong view, tinted with the subtle greed, subtle delusion. Then we also discuss on the story of Bodhidharma. I give a brief history of how Bodhidharma came over to China to transmit the Dhamma. So Bodhidharma is the 28th patriarch in Sakyamuni Buddha. Then he is also the first patriarch in China. That's why when you talk about patriarch, it depends on which country is patriarch. India has 28 and end with Bodhidharma. Then Bodhidharma brings the patriarchship Dhamma over to China, and he started from there, the first patriarch of China. But he is the 28th of the series. So in China too, they continue that tradition. Even though they call Bodhidharma the first patriarch of China, but he is also recognized as the 28th. Then the second patriarch becomes the 29th. Then you have the third patriarch as the 30th. Then fourth, 31. Fifth, 32. Then Huineng is 33. But Huineng is the sixth patriarch of China. He's very famous, that's why the sixth patriarch. He is very, very famous. Liu Zhu Huineng. His name is Huineng. That's why he's the sixth patriarch. The sixth patriarch Huineng. Enlightenment is to awaken to the self nature or our true nature. It is not about just sitting without understanding. So when we meditate to realize enlightenment, a living being can only awaken when it realizes its true nature, its true mind. You cannot awaken to your true nature, Ben Xing. You cannot develop enlightenment. Because enlightenment is a awakening. When you awaken to that true mind, that true nature, then you realize the form and mind, they are not real. They are not what you think. That's what enlightenment is all about. It means no more delusion, no more wrong view, no more sakkaya ditthi, no more avijja. So those who meditate without understanding, they think you must sit to meditate. No, like the Buddha said, meditation can be done in any posture, anywhere, any place, any time. In fact, the whole of life is meditation. That's why the key thing to meditation is the four foundations of mindfulness. And the Buddha said the most important one is the daily mindfulness. So Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all things within life and existence. Then how do we cultivate? Just like the Zen story, Bodhidharma gave them the basic understanding. That's why this note number 8, you need to understand it clearly. Bodhidharma said you have to start from basic. Basic means you start from the mind. So starting from the mind is very important. Then you need to investigate this mind. What is this mind? Then when you start to investigate, you will come to realize there are two aspects to mind. And this one is seldom taught because few people understand the nature of mind. To them, they only know one aspect of mind. And they mix them all up, consciousness, mind. But when you meditate, when you're silent, you will understand. The silent mind, which is completely without any sense data, which is just an awareness nature, the essence of mind, is not condition arising. It is independent of condition, independent of the thought process. Without thought, it can also exist, because thought is dependent originating, condition arising. But this awareness nature within does not need condition. So this basic understanding is very important. The two aspects of mind you need to silent meditate to understand. When the mundane mind sees, you will realize the true mind. When the mundane mind is active, you will be clouded by the mundane mind, which is your thinking mind, the thought process. So thinking mind or the thought process, that one is dependent originating, condition arising. That one is subject to karma. So you have to understand, that's why the Buddha say, our mind, which is the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. From mind, everything arises. So when you start from basic means, you cultivate starting from zero base. Assume you doesn't know anything. Then you find out, what is this mind? That's why you have to start from mind. Then you understand that there is this mundane mind, dependent originating mind, condition arising mind. Then you realize everything arises from this mind. But within this mind, when this mind sees, there is a self nature within. That's why Huineng say, you have to understand that everything arises from self nature. All dhammas arise from the self nature, including the mundane mind. Then this mundane mind, because it is subject to karma, this one is responsible for all creation. That's why the Buddha say, for mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises, good and bad, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome. Whether something is wholesome or unwholesome, duality, they all arise from the mundane mind. And this mundane mind is not real, it's impermanent, leading to suffering. Because it's impermanent, it's non-self, empty, not what you think. And because of that, if you have delusion to grasp and cling to the phenomenal world created by the mundane mind, then your delusion sets in. Then you will start to attach, cling, grasp, giving meaning, thinking that they are real. And it will condition suffering, misery, affliction, when you cannot get things your way, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want in life. Then regarding karma, it's also from here. The Buddha said, The use of thought or mind, the mundane mind, is very important. Without wisdom, without right view, you don't know how to use this mind. You will get yourself entangled. So the starting point of cultivation is to understand that you need to have certain right views to bring about right understanding for you to cultivate. Otherwise, this mind will create havoc. That's why he said we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So in that sense, our life depends entirely on karma. That's why when you understand this, this is how you start. You have to take care of karma. To take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil. To avoid all evil, you must keep your precept. That's how the teaching come about. Then when you start to develop mindfulness and heedfulness, and start to understand what constitutes evil, then only you can keep your precept. You can start your cultivation. Then the four right effort will follow. Then after that, you develop mindfulness, awareness, to be aware of all these mind states, the duality created by mind through delusion, and how all this nature's law that governs life and existence function. Then you put the Dhammapada verse to test. You put the Dhamma to test. That's how cultivation take on. That's how you have to start from basic, start from mind, and understand clearly what this mind is all about, the two aspects. Whether something is wholesome or unwholesome, they all arise from the mundane mind. Then number nine, there is a nature that is independent of thinking. This one you have to meditate to understand. You have to silence everything. All beings are connected to the self nature, which is never born. Hence, it doesn't get sick, doesn't get old and die. And this is the eternal nature. That's why that eternal nature, that self nature, because it is the eternal nature. That's why it's never born. If it's never born, how can it get old, get sick and die? So that is the clear understanding that you need to develop. When one understands this, one will be able to cultivate and meditate correctly or accordingly. If one does not understand, then one will just follow instruction blindly. Meditation is not about whether one is doing it right or wrong that day, because Miss Lee was asking the question, am I doing it right? It's nothing to do with right or wrong. It's whether you understand what you are doing or not. That is more important. That's why I put here, it's not about doing it right or wrong, but one must understand what one is doing in the name of meditation and cultivation. If you don't even know what you are doing, you are wasting your time. Means you are being gullible. You just follow instruction, gullibly believing. By doing that, you are meditating, and one day you will become enlightened. No. Enlightenment is not about how long you sit, how long you meditate. If you don't understand what is meditation, you can spend your whole lifetime meditating, but you are being gullible. Number 11 is also very important. The mundane mind needs to be trained via mindfulness to realize the true mind or the silent mind. This is the basis of all meditation. The true mind is always there, no need to train. But you cannot realize it because your mundane mind is actively creating thought. You are lost in thought, you are being heedless. And because of that, this aggregates of mind, the thought process, consciousness in, and its content cloud your nature. That's why they are like clouds or passing things within nature, the phenomenal world. So whatever you create through your thought process, your mental states, your perception, your activity of mind, sankhara and all those things, your stirring of mind, the images, the mental formation, the consciousness that arise, the stirring, the reaction, the duality, all this clouds the mind, and all these are sankhara, activity of mind, mental states, whatever that your mundane mind can do. So this is the one that causes you delusion. When you don't understand, you grasp, you cling, you continue to arise. So this mundane mind, which is dependent originating, not the real mind or true mind, you need to train via mindfulness. When it is silent, without thought, the true mind will arise. The silent mind will arise. This is the meditative mind. This is how you connect back to your true mind, your true nature. Then not until there is mindfulness, there is no real meditation leading to wisdom. That's why without sati, you cannot progress. So what you need to do is just relax and be silent. Develop the five spiritual faculties to overcome the five mental hindrances first. If there is still thinking, it's because sati is lacking and the untrained mind is heedless. Accept it and just be aware. Don't fight, don't suppress, don't resist, don't do anything. Just allow it to be. Then it will return to its original state of stillness. Because whatever that is dependent originating will return to stillness if you don't give it any more delusion, thought energy to stir, to react, to create. Then number 14, use the heart, which is the awareness within, to be aware of external things. Observe or be aware without views, opinion and thought. Because once your views, opinion and thought arise, that is your conditioning. That is what your mundane mind is all about. It's a bundle of memory, opinion, views and opinion and conditioning. And you act according to that, you're not acting at all. Because this is delusion, the mundane mind. Then learn to see things as they are. Be with the moment in silent awareness. Just be with the moment in silent awareness to see things as they are. Don't try to do anything. That's why the whole of meditation is just relax, silent, and just aware. Then in the midst of life, cultivate daily mindfulness. That is, learn to be mindful all the time. Learn to see with the silent mind all of the physical, mental and nature's flow within nature. If there is mindfulness, thought will not arise. But when thought do arise, just be aware and do not allow it to continue or proliferate into a chain of heedless thinking. This is most important. When you understand this, you know how to meditate. Otherwise, your mundane mind keep on arising, keep on stirring, keep on proliferating. Then number 17 is the cultivation. Next page. Thinking ahead while doing your intended bodily action or movement is not being mindful at all. You realize you think a lot. Whatever you do, you are not with the moment. You are always thinking, thinking and thinking. That is heedlessness. Because you lack mindfulness, you are not with the moment in silent awareness. You are hardly silent. You are hardly with your true mind, the mundane mind, which is the awareness within. So what you should do is try doing one thing at a time with full awareness or attentiveness. Be with the moment in silent awareness more and more, so that this heedless thinking will be reduced. Learn to live life instead of always thinking, planning and worrying about life. That's why when you stand, just aware. When you move, activity, just body and mind as one. You have to do that. That is the beginning of cultivation. You can't even be mindful within the moment to be aware, to be heedful in the midst of life. You don't stand a chance. Then number 18. Try not to accumulate via memory. This is very useful. So that the brain has space. Especially those psychological memories like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your scars of memory, insecurity, etc. Instead, just jot them down so as to be free from the use, the need to use memory. No thought means no worry, no fear, no anxiety, etc. It's just so simple. So if you don't store all this unnecessary psychological memory, then you have no problem. Because thinking arises due to ignorance. And thought most of the time arises due to response to memory. When you respond to the memory you accumulate, when you give meaning, you worry about it. You try to keep on recalling it because you have attachment to them. That's why accumulation is suffering. Memory, you only need to store the appropriate non-psychological memory. Just like computer. When you need them, you access them. That's why it's called random access memory. And this type of memory are important memories. But you don't go and hold on to them. It can be in the memory bank, but it does not trigger off psychological fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. No, insecurity, all this don't have. Because these are physical memory or a certain type of memory that are useful for you to live life, like your name, your address, your friend's name, and how to use word to communicate. So these are normal mechanical memory thought that you need to use. They are not the psychological memories. Then the next aspect is when you are able to silence your mind to develop the meditation, you will come to realize the true mind. And the characteristic of true mind is always tranquility, silence, and clarity of mind that will lead us to see things as they are, leading to wisdom. That's how the silent mind can insight into phenomena, can see things as they are, can awaken. Then note 20, when there is awakening, the wisdom that arises will be connected to the form and mind. Means when you insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics, then the form and mind or the human being is no longer deluded. Then one can say it has become enlightened. However, this form and mind is not you and it is still subject to the law of karma. This must be understood so that one can cultivate correctly. This one is the most important. Then enlightenment has nothing to do with whether one has completely exhausted one's bad karma or not. Then note 22, also very important. The two aspects of the middle path. The first aspect is to avoid the two extremes of self-mortification and sensual indulgence. Whereas the second is to transcend duality via wisdom. Duality is to be understood. Duality pertains to the conditioned world, the mundane, conditioned arising world. So to live life, to use the thought, the mundane mind, you need to understand that duality do exist, because it is the mundane mind that creates duality. And duality are needed within the conditioned world because it's a field of thought. Yeah. So this understanding is very important. So duality is to be understood. You don't try to fight duality. You don't try to do away with duality. We are within life, within existence. You need duality to communicate, to express yourself, to explain things. But when you have the Dhamma, you realize this duality comes from the mundane mind. That's why you will finally develop the wisdom to transcend duality. That's why we have three levels of seeing. The first level is mundane seeing. Seeing mountain as mountain. Kan san, si san, normal people, mundane seeing. Then as you develop the daily mindfulness, when you are able to see things as they are via the direct seeing, then you realize that direct seeing got no words, no concept, nothing. Then when you see something, it's just that thing, suchness. No words, no concept. That's why the second level of seeing is Kan san, bu si san. There is no more word, no more mountain, no more concept of what that seeing consciousness is all about. It's just that pure perception, that pure awareness, the consciousness of it. Then you realize that one got no duality, nothing. Then you see things as they are, not according to your memory, your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your religious belief system and all those things. Then you realize this second way of direct seeing is the supramundane seeing, not the normal seeing. But then this one still got duality, because you still think that you already enlightened. Delusion and enlightenment is still another aspect of duality, even though you don't create words, concept. But you still have an idea, a very subtle delusion of your form and mind that is enlightened. You think it's you. You think you are enlightened. Other beings are not enlightened. So the subtle ego is still there, mana. So when you realize that, you will continue to cultivate. Then when you continue to cultivate and you awaken completely to realize that that form and mind is not real, not what you think, then you transcend completely all duality. Then you can go back to normal. That's why the third level of seeing is the supramundane seeing, means seeing reality, seeing truth. Means whoever come to you when they say they see mountain, they see this, because this is mundane seeing, you understand, no more right and wrong, no more argument. Whereas the enlightened being come, he say there is no mountain. Yes, you're right, there is no mountain. That's why the third level of seeing is you go back to wisdom, the wisdom seeing. Seeing things as they are, according to reality, according to the way things are, means Kan san, yu si san. Because this is the world. Within the world, there is this duality, this condition. So whatever the condition, the situation, you can accord and flow. And that is the ultimate seeing. That's how cultivation is to be developed. Okay. Then we go to 23, note 23. Ignorance leads to heedless thinking, avijja paccaya sankhara. So be aware of this mental activity via mindfulness to develop wisdom to straighten one's view. so that one can weaken such heedless thinking. So when you straighten your view, you get less ignorant, less delusion. That's why sankhara become less. That's how you progress. Then 24, notes 24. The real meditation will always bring one back to the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Always reflect and contemplate until the Dhamma is very clear. Then the first and second Noble Truth are the mundane aspect of life. First Noble Truth explains the realities of life and existence. There is the eight reality leading to suffering if one lacks wisdom. It also explains the prevalence of suffering if one confronts them without proper understanding. Then second Noble Truth is concerning the cause of suffering. So the cause of suffering born of delusion is craving. Craving to be, craving not to be. Then the other one is the sensual craving. Then the third Noble Truth is suffering need not be, Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. So this is the supramundane truth, the third Noble Truth. Then the fourth Noble Truth is regarding the path that leads to the end of all suffering. So the Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, which is mundane cultivation, which still has delusion, it will lead to the realization of Nibbana, which is the supramundane. So it's the fourth Noble Truth is about cultivating the mundane Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the supramundane transformation or awakening. Then there is a question by Sister Adeline. Can Brother Teo explain how we can? How can one overcome or transcend duality in cultivation? So this one I explained already just now. Duality is to be understood. You don't try and be gullible like what normal people do. They thought duality is bad, so they want to do away with duality. And they try to see things as they are. They don't want to arise duality. That is wrong. Wrong cultivation. How can you cultivate this way? Because cultivation is about awakening, developing the wisdom and the understanding. If you have, then you can deal. If you don't have, how can you deal with duality? Do you understand? That's why a lot of cultivators become gullible. What they do? They go and believe what people tell them. Practice letting go. Practice non-duality. Where got such practice? When you don't have the wisdom, you will hold, you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp. Where you refuse to understand what duality is. The moment you understand, there is nothing to practice. True or not? When I understand that this is burning me, tormenting me, and causing me suffering, do I need to practice let go? In the first place, when I have this wisdom and understanding, I will never hold, understand or not? I will never touch. Then what is there a need to let go? That's why the moment I see something, hear something, smell something, that wisdom frees my mind, liberates my mind. What is there to practice? Do you understand? And who is practicing? Your thought is telling you all this duality. All this Adhamma, which is not the true Dhamma. And you still believe, a lot of Dhamma. Really, practice letting go. I must not attack. That's why I must let go. But you never ask, who let go? What let go? Then write according to who? You never question all this. You never inquire. You don't understand what that mundane mind is all about. You don't understand what duality is all about. It is from the mundane mind through delusion that it arises. Like Hui Ning say, when this does not arise, that does not arise. Originally there was nothing. Why you go and create? Like the Buddha said, imastin sati idang hoti. When you create this, when this arise, that arise. But this is duality. When this ceases, imas means our hoti. Imas means our sati idang our hoti. When this ceases, that automatically ceases. If I don't create, duality ceases. Then what is there to practice? Understand or not? Why must I still polish until the mind? Huh? Got no more dust. Polish until it shine. That is the mundane mind. How can you polish the mundane mind? You have to train the mundane mind to be aware, to be heedful, to understand that these are duality created. Then the moment you understand, the word dust ceases to be. Do you understand? But when the word dust is always there, you try not to get angry. You try not to be selfish. You try not to be possessive. That is delusion. Do you understand? Who is trying? The thought. After you create, you want to do away. How can you do away without wisdom? That's why wisdom free, nothing else. Always remember that. And don't be gullible anymore. When you hear somebody tell you, practice letting go, practice non-attachment, non-duality, forget about it, because these people don't understand. And who is practicing? There is nobody practicing. It's just the form of mind. They don't even understand what this form of mind is all about. It's a vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world. It's not you. You're supposed to observe this, to understand that these are dependent originating entity, not real, not what you think. You're supposed to awaken to all this, to develop the wisdom, the understanding, so that you are not gullible, so that you will not attach, you will not cling, you will not grasp and become afflicted. This is what cultivation is all about. Please wake up. If this you cannot understand, you can be doing your meditation for umpteen years, life after life, you will be back to square one. Because you are still using thought, the mundane mind, to meditate. You can't even understand what cultivation is. Cultivation is to realize the true mind, to awaken to that true nature, nothing else. And to realize that you are not the mundane mind. The form of mind is not you. See it through the meditation and develop that wisdom. Then your mind is free. It will transcend duality. That's why Sister Adeline's question is very good that day. And I explained it very clearly that day. So today is the revision part. Huh? Today one, if you listen to it, it will help you a lot. Huh? Then the next question, 31, by Engby, is also very good. According to Brother Theo, Noble Eightfold Path still has duality, right? Reason why Brother Theo said in the last Tuesday and Thursday classes that the fourth Noble Truth is about cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, which is mundane cultivation leading to the supramundane, which is the realization of Nibbana. Can Brother Theo explain this further? So this question was very good. So like I explained, the four noble truths. First and second noble truth is mundane reality. It's talking about the mundane existence. First noble truth is the reality of life and existence, the eight conditions that you experience as you go through existence. Then the prevalence of suffering means suffering is everywhere when you don't have the wisdom and the understanding. That's why the second noble truth is also mundane. The Buddha said the cause of suffering is your attachment, your craving, born of self-delusion, nothing else. And what is this self-delusion? The final summary summarizes everything. In short, it is due to your attachment, grasping, clinging to the five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. That's why the five aggregates of grasping is dukkha. So you have to understand this. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? What does the Buddha mean by the five aggregate of form and mind? You inquire and go into it. Then in the meditation, find out. Then you realize the two aspects. I realized that through my own meditation. Do you know that? No book write about it since the day I started cultivation this life. But because of my nature's past, that's why it can awaken to this very fast. Because it understands very fast. So all this, you need to cultivate your own understanding. Then you put it to test. When I understand what this five aggregate for my mind is, then I put it to test. If I deludedly grasp and cling to the five aggregates of form and mind, do I suffer? You check. Every of these aggregates you check. If I attach to this physical form, do I suffer? Yes, I realize. But if I think this is real, this is me, I worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. That's why I have problem. But if I don't have this delusion, I got no problem. That's the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha left the palace, because he thought the body was what he is. That's why he said he has a problem with regards to getting old, getting sick and die. He cannot free. But later on, after 6 years of cultivation, meditation, when he connect back, he realized this physical body is not him. That's why his problem is gone. That's why he said this body of mind, which is the karmically conditioned form, physical body, is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. Because this one goes the way of nature, four elements, no reality, not me, dependent originating. That's how he free. And this wisdom free him. That's it. It's not the meditation and all those things. Of course, through the meditation, he awakened. But basically, the thing that free his mind is wisdom, nothing else. Not your fantastic meditation. Not after you go retreat, wow, I experienced this, I experienced that, my mind become what? What for? As long as it does not bring about wisdom, it's just a conditioned state. Forget about it, because this one will boost your ego, thinking that you are special. You are still the form and mind. Without the wisdom connected, the form and mind is still deluded, I tell you. And when that wisdom through the awakening is connected, the form and mind is no longer deluded. But that form and mind is still not you. You have to awaken to that. Otherwise, you will still be gullible. You will still be caught in delusion. So this is what cultivation is all about. Then when it comes to the supramundane third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be, enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So this one is enlightenment, which is nibbana, can be realized in the here and the now. You don't have to wait till death to realize it. That's why the third noble truth, the second turning and the third turning is very important. This nibbana within the third noble truth is to be realized under the second turning. You have to realize it. Then the third turning says this nibbana, which is the third noble truth, has already been realized. You have to go through that transformation. Otherwise, enlightenment in the here and the now is not possible. You have to go through that realization. Then the fourth noble truth is about the mundane cultivation leading to the supramundane. So you have to start with right view, straightening your view. That's why you have to continuously through the direct seeing or the four foundation of mindfulness, see things as they are, insight into phenomena, awaken to the three universal characteristics, then keep on straightening your view, not to be deluded, not to grasp, not to cling, not to hold. Then when you don't grasp, don't cling, don't hold, what is there to let go? What is there to practice? When you are no longer deluded, you are beyond training. No need to practice anymore. But that wisdom free you. And you will know this is not you. These are not me. Then later on you will realize the enlightenment and you will cultivate beyond the normal sinhood way to realize the Huining's Diamond Sutra teaching. Not only you realize no thought, the hallmark of no mark will be there. Then after that, you will also have the ability to use this form of mind, mundane, five aggregate of form of mind, to go beyond. Means the mind will have no dwelling. It doesn't dwell anymore. It doesn't hold on to anything anymore. It's just aware, spacious awareness, without a center or specific phenomenal awareness, just mindfulness, awareness, heedfulness. That's why the ultimate cultivation is so different. Without wisdom, without understanding, all these are not possible. So regarding Engby's question, I already explained. You start like what I teach you. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then the four right effort. Then right mindfulness and right samadhi. Because without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot free. And right view is most important. Because without the right view, the straightening of view, sankhara will be active. Avijja will condition sankhara activity. So as you straighten your view, you got less delusion, you react less, you stir less, you create less, your mind become quiet, peaceful. That's why you are more and more aware. As you are more and more aware, it will lead you to the realization of the true mind, the silent mind. That's why you meditate until everything becomes very still, until you realize paucity. Then stabilize it. Until the mind enters sati, until your daily mindfulness is very, very stable. That is what cultivation is all about. If you don't do all this, you can forget about meditation. Because if you cannot be in the midst of life, heedful, aware, to cultivate, ever mindful, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you don't stand a chance. That's why once the Noble Eightfold Path has been cultivated correctly, then you develop the embodiment of all the Noble Eightfold Path factor. You have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then constantly having the four right effort to purify. Then your mindfulness is very stable, leading to stability or samadhi, to see things as they are. Then wisdom keep on arising. The factor of enlightenment keep on arising. That's how you awaken. Then when you awaken, that's how the supramundane is realized. So supramundane, nibbana, is about the cessation of form and mind. When the mundane mind ceases, it will realize that true mind, the true nature. Then this mind without wisdom will cease, it will awaken. That's how wisdom will arise, manifest, and connect to the form and mind. That's how enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Then the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, become possible. Then you get to live the life of enlightened being. Yeah. You get to reap the fruition of your hard work, your cultivation. That's why Pativeda manifests. First, you cultivate the understanding of the teaching, pariyati. Then put it into practice, patipati. Then you realize the enlightenment. The third phase of Dhamma will manifest. So this is how the whole cultivation is to be understood. And this note is very important. You better fold it up and keep it. This is the whole of the cultivation, all the summary that you need. For cultivation and understanding. You don't need anything else. Yeah. Okay? Any question so far? Any question? Anybody got any question? Huh? you got no question, then we go on, huh? Yeah. Okay, page 383. The last paragraph, about the sutta. Those who grasp at emptiness, slander the sutta by maintaining that written words have no use, since they maintain they have no need of written words. They should not speak either, because written words are merely the marks of spoken language. They also maintain that the direct way cannot be established by written words. And yet, these two words, not established, are themselves written. When they hear others speaking, they slander them by saying that they are attached to written words. You should know that to be confused as they are may be permissible, but to slander the Buddha Sutta is not permissible. Do not slander the Sutta, for if you do, your offense will create countless coming obstacles for you. One who attaches himself to external mark and practice Dhamma in search of truth, or who builds many bohi mandalas and speak of the error and evil of existence and non-existence, will not see his nature for many aeons. So this is the danger part. If you use your mundane mind without understanding, without awakening, to slander the Buddha Dhamma, you will get into deep trouble. Listening to the Dhamma and cultivating accordingly, do not think of the hundreds things, for that will obstruct the nature of the way. Listening without cultivating will cause others to form deviant views. Simply cultivate according to the Dhamma and do not dwell in mark when bestowing it. So this is the understanding part. So I will read to you the commentaries by Xuan Hua. People who are attached to emptiness say that they don't need anything at all. They say that it isn't necessary to study the sutta. They say that they don't use written words. Everything is empty. They say, don't use words. Words are nothing but an attachment to mind. If that is so, then nobody should even speak, because written words are simply the visible manifestation of spoken language. So this is how Xuan Hua explained it. But what is your understanding that is more important? Anybody want to try to explain it in your own words? What does Huining man, or what does a sutta man, when he spoke on all this? Anybody? While I have a drink. You cannot remember. Just now I went through with you. When you attach to Dhamma, when you attach to the word emptiness, or when you attach to the word non-duality, what happened to you? What happened to you? You all better get this clear, otherwise you cannot progress, I tell you. When you attach to Dhamma, I repeat, like the word emptiness, non-duality, non-attachment, letting go, what happened to you? Of course you become colorful, but explain, please. Queen Hei, yeah. Because if you don't explain, other people will also be like you. They're not us. At least you speak out. It's very good. But if you can explain, it will be very good. Because you understand to a certain extent, I know. It's okay. It's okay. You just speak on it. It's okay. Yeah.
If we understand,
you face your mouth. Face your mouth.
Because if we understand what Buddha is trying to tell us, teach us, we should not. How should I say? Once we have to understand, we don't have to let go, because
correct.
There's nothing to let go. If
correct.
You don't create duality
yourself,
because
very
duality
good.
Is meant for us to live, to
yes.
exist in this
yes.
conditioned world.
So you forgot to use the word the sutta mentioned. If you don't attach to the Dhamma, understand not? You don't attach to Dhamma, then you don't have to practice all those Dhamma, understand not? Because this Dhamma is there to explain to you, you of it, to explain to you the truth, the reality. And when they explain it to you, it's for you to develop the understanding so that you awaken. It's not for you to attach, cling, and want to practice that Dhamma, understand not? There is nothing to practice, understand? No. Who practice? The thought practice. What did the Buddha mention in his teaching? He said, purify the mind. He never asked you to practice the Dhamma, understand? No. Purify the mind means what? Purify it of all the wrong view, understand? No. Not to practice right view. Right view cannot be practiced, understand? You know why right view cannot be practiced? It's already the right view is to be understood, understand not, or awakened to. You better get this right. Right view is an understanding. You cannot practice, understand not? You have to awaken to it. You have to realize it. So this understanding is to be awakened to. And it cannot be practiced. Do you understand? Do you understand? That's why duality, you cannot practice duality. You cannot practice non-attachment. You cannot practice letting go. How can you practice? When you don't have wisdom, you will attach, you will cling, you will hold, you will grasp to duality. But when you understand, there is no more delusion. Then I don't have to practice. Then I understand it for what it is. I understand there is a law of karma. So I will just know what to do. That's why the Buddha said, I have to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. I just do that. Must I practice how to keep precept? There is no such practice, understand or not? Precept is to be understood. When you understand, you will not violate, because you know it's not worthwhile. It's against the nature's law. So don't be gullible. That's why I always don't like to use this word practice. Who practice? You never ask. Practice to do what? Practice to be right. Right according to who? Where can you practice right view? Cannot. Right view means right view. Finish. No need to practice. That's not. That is the law of karma. You need to practice law of karma. Not? Huh? You need to practice law of karma. Not? Law of karma is the right view. Why you go and practice law of karma? There is no practice involved. But you practice how to ride a bicycle. Yes, because you don't know how to ride a bicycle. Understand? That one you need to practice. Practice how to walk. Understand? That one you need practice. Mechanical thing. Yeah. Understanding wisdom you cannot practice. It's whether you have or you don't have. That's a yoniso manasikara, which is wisdom, cannot be practiced. It's either you awaken to it, you have it, means you have it. So this is also wise attention. Wisdom at the moment of attention. That's why we call it wise attention or yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wise. So always remember, don't be gullible. Keep on repeating what people are telling you. Even the word, sometimes you read this Dhamma book, you have to be careful. They always tell you, stay with the knower. You heard of this word, isn't it? Stay with the knower. Is it the correct understanding? I repeat this word. In fact, a lot of Thai book has this word. Stay with the this word is very dangerous. This is wrong. But those who understand its meaning, not too bad. Understand? Especially those who don't know the meaning, you use the wrong word, you can debate. And you get into big problem. What is this knower? Who is the knower? Who know? What is awareness? What is awareness? Or what is mindfulness? So mindfulness is equals to awareness before the knowing. The moment you know, what happened? You are no longer aware, understand? And who knows? The thought knows. Through what? Through perception. Thought knows via perception. That's why I say the moment you perceive, the thought is already there. Like the art, the image. How do you know it's the Buddha or Kuan Yin? The moment you know is perception. There is the thought. There is no more awareness. No more the direct seeing. No more the pure perception. The word has come out. Then he asks you to stay with the knower. Who is the knower? The thought. Then they say, cittanupassana, mindful of mind. They are using thought to be aware of thought. That is not cittanupassana. Cittanupassana is an awareness that is just aware. The sati and the thought is one, like anger. When the anger, the movement is there, the awareness stay with it. That is cittanupassana. It's not another thought that see anger. Oh, I was angry just now. I saw my anger. This is not seeing your anger. This is another thought acknowledging that anger. Because the anger is already passed through memory, you recall.
But when the anger manifests through dependent originating condition arising, your awareness is there, no word. That is cittanupassana. Not the other one, which is thought-based. So now we are going into more detail of cultivation. Because without all this, you can never understand. And it's very difficult for you to break free. So this part is very important. Huh? Because there is nothing to know. All knowing comes from thought. You have to get all this understood. Otherwise, you cannot cultivate. Where you are doing things without understanding. I realize a lot of these are the old habitual tendency and the old conditioning that you all have been receiving. Because to you, it's like a lot of Dhamma, very beautiful. Oh, they teach you how to practice letting go, how to stay with the knower and all those things. But because you yourself doesn't know what that thing is, you become gullible and you keep on holding on to all this. But please, not until you understand, don't go and quote me and get yourself into trouble for nothing. You just make a note, understand, then cultivate until you realize. You will come to know what I mean. Then after that, you can express it, then no problem. Then you can share with people, you can teach people. Okay? Can follow that? Yeah? Okay, any question so far? So now coming back to the commentary. Yeah? People who are attached to emptiness say they don't need anything at all. So this is the same, understand now? Where you haven't realized the true understanding of emptiness. They have not penetrated the Dhamma. So they attach to the Dhamma of emptiness. What happened? Then they go and quote, understand not? And what do they quote? They say they don't need words. But the truth is beyond word, which is correct, but they don't understand. That's why in the Fifth Patriarch Sutta, or the Fifth Patriarch Tou Huineng, when he expounded the Diamond Sutta, when he reached the part, he told Huineng, this mind, which is the mundane mind, you must know how to use it, and yet, not to be deluded by it, understand or deceived by it. So this mundane mind, which is part of the conditioned world, part of duality, exists. You need to use it, understand or you don't use, that's why here he say, you might as well don't say anything. Then what is your understanding? You don't understand at all. So here he says, people who are attached to emptiness say they don't need anything at all. They say that it isn't necessary to study sutta, because these sutta are all words. They say that they don't need to use written word, because everything is empty. Quote the Dhamma. No. We are attached. And they say, don't use words. Words are nothing but an attachment to ma. So they quote everything without understanding. So if that is so, then nobody should even speak, understand not? Because whatever that is spoken are words, concept. So written words are simply the visible manifestation of spoken language. So whenever you speak, words will come out. Concept will come out. This is mundane mind, duality. That's why those who don't understand, they quote. Then they try to practice emptiness, which is stupid, and which is deluded. How can you practice emptiness? You cannot practice emptiness. Emptiness is to be understood. Now you see the point. Because it is not the word. It is the understanding of the word. All Dhamma are empty of characteristics. Yes. All Dhammas are without concept, beyond words. Correct. But it's not an idea and a concept for you to practice. It's for you to awaken to. When you awaken, then you realize, yeah, all these are Dhammas. Understand or not? The truth is not in the Dhamma. That this Dhamma points towards the truth. Point towards the truth means what? You have to awaken to it, like the finger pointing to the moon. You think the finger is the moon or not? The finger is not the moon, is it? But it points towards the truth, the moon. So to realize the moon, what must you do? You must look beyond the... Beyond the what? Huh? Ah, the finger. So don't be... Understood the finger for the moon, understand or not? The Dhamma is the Dhamma. That's why it's a signpost pointing direct to truth. Don't attach to these words. Realize it. Then you can go beyond. This is what cultivation is all about. When you don't understand, you become gullible. You attach, you cling. And you think the Dhamma is the truth. Dhamma are truth, correct? Dhamma are the teaching. But the teaching and the real thing, Nibbana, are two different things. The teaching points towards the truth. It will lead you to the awakening, the understanding, the realization. But that itself are words, not what you think. So this understanding is very important. That's why they say, they also say the direct mind is the Bodhi Mandala. Do not set up written words. Means this is the true mind. But unless you quit speaking altogether, you still have language and the phrase like do not set up is itself made up of words. But this is to develop the wisdom and the understanding for you not to be gullible. They say words has to be used. Words are needed for communication, explanation, and words are needed within the mundane existential world. Then you must have both the understanding of the conditioned world and the unconditioned. They say the supramundane, true emptiness must be realized. Then with both the understanding, then only you can live within the conditioned world. Okay, next page, 385. Your own confusion is your own business, the master adds. You do not slander the Buddha Dhamma or the Buddha Sutta. You should not refrain from thinking, for if you do, you fall into a useless, dull kind of emptiness. You should cultivate in the way I have instructed you. Do not become attached to appearances. So this one is also very important. Eh? Do not refrain from thinking. A lot of people become so gullible, they attach to the word emptiness. They say blank everything, empty. No need to think. Thought is the culprit. I already explained to you, it's not the thought. Is the user of the thought, understand not? Without wisdom, you don't know how to use. Without wisdom, the form and mind is deluded. That's why the user of the form and mind is very important. As you have to understand, form and mind arise within the conditioned world. And this one is your karmically conditioned vehicle and tool, not the true you. It has nothing to do with your true nature, your true self. But it's part of your karmic activity. That's why you have to understand from both sides. Otherwise you become gullible. So this is very important. Eh? Do not fall into the wrong understanding of attachment to Dhamma. Means you try to restrain from even thinking. Thoughts are needed to live life, understand? Within the existential world, you have to use it, the mundane mind, but not to be deluded by it, not to be deceived by it. That is the understanding. Then you need to know the supramundane, the true emptiness, the universal characteristic, to develop the wisdom to awaken and to go beyond. And that is the way to cultivate. So Hui Ning here say, you should cultivate in the way he has instructed you, and do not become attached to mark or appearances. Because just because you heard his word, no thought, no mark, no dwelling, then you try to practice no thought, no mark, and no dwelling, you are being deluded and gullible. How can you practice no thought? Do you understand? No thought is not a practice. It's an understanding. The moment I understand, without thought, I'm already aware. Without thought, my true mind will arise. Then, use that understanding to let the mind settle down. Understand how? No need to practice. If you practice, what are you doing? You are using thought to practice not to have thought. I ask you one very simple question. The thought which is actively practicing meditating, can it be silent? Cannot. And why are you still practicing no thought? Trying to silence your mind. Who is trying? No need to do anything. Understand that the moment the mundane mind sees, sankhara activity does not arise, the true mind is there, sati is there. That's why without thought, you are already aware, mindful, no need to practice. Who practice? The thought actively practice. And how can the thought that is active develop the silence? Cannot. Well, this thought that is practicing, you know what is he doing or not? It's like what you are doing. Note, understand? Note, rising, falling. Note, anapanasati. Focus, concentrate. Look for vipassana. Look for jhana. This is what people are doing. And this is what delusion is all about. And yet they say they do vipassana. They do samatha. They can see light. They can see this. They can see that. And still thinking that they have done well. This is real delusion. So wake up to all these things. Then you will come to realize meditation is very simple. The Dhamma is very simple. None of all this. Go back and reflect and get it understood clearly. Then no more of this stupidity. Okay? Can follow. Because this note is no more. After this, I won't discuss it anymore. So after today, you should get it understood. Otherwise, you have wasted all your classes and all those things. But this is the final summary. And this final instruction, the final chapter, is also very beautiful. Where everything that Hui Ning teach points towards this cultivation, nothing else. Yeah. And the final summary is always the gem. Like the last lesson of the Satipatthana Sutta, where everything is summarized inside there. It's the same. So this one also same. So make a note, okay? Okay, we end here. Do you have any question? Anybody? Any question? Almost 4:30, you got 2 more minutes, just nice. Anybody? Don't have. Then you can have your meditation, half an hour. We can off the light, then you can have half an hour of meditation.
Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, mindfulness, and the silence within for as long as you can. Always remember, in the form of meditation, you are supposed to stabilize this mindfulness until it's very quiet, very still. Then maintain the silence within to understand deeper and deeper. Then whatever happens, always be clear of what you are doing in the name of meditation. Because after you know how to meditate already, then anything is possible. You just silent, relax, aware. Then the unfolding of it can happen in many ways. Then you can develop the clear understanding of what that nature is. As you progress, a lot of things will happen within your own nature, your own physical form and mind. The understanding will continue to unfold. Of course, there will be a lot of other type of related movements. But the key thing is the four support. Always remember, relax, maintain awareness, or sati for as long as you can. Then, if possible, extend it to 24-hour continuous mindfulness, awareness. Then finally is trust, no more doing. When your gateway is already clear, clearly connected and aware, when you are able to stay with the silent mind, awareness for long period of time, then your mind become different. Your mind will become different. There a lot of things will happen. So initially, whatever happened, you will come to understand. Then later on, it vary again. The movements are all different, depending on your cultivation, depending on your past and all those things. All this, they will manifest. But only the silent mind will understand, nothing else. And when it understands, it will become more and more clear to you. And that understanding will continuously unfold by itself. Then later on, it will transform your mind state, it will transform your understanding. Then it become very sensitive. Then many things will happen. Okay. Now we'll open up for reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you have regarding the meditation or whatever Dhamma that you want to develop clearer understanding, you can ask. Okay. The mic is here, you just have to put up your hand. Whatever that you want to report or understand, you can ask. Make full use of the condition. Pass the mic to the back. I think Brother Sam got some.
Brother, 我要 share 一个experience.
Yeah, okay, very good.
Usually 我晚上 before sleep 的时候，我都会听Dharma talk.
Okay.
每次我在听那个 Dharma talk 的时候，每次你一再 explain 那个 Dharma， like after 5 to 10 minutes。我就睡下去了。
it's
but,
okay.
But 每次你一讲完，连我又会起，我又会 wake up 来 off那个 handphone。
Yeah, you will understand. Yeah.
连我每次觉得，because sometimes 我要听那个 dharma， but every time 每次就是那个 important 的 parts 的时候就 doze off 掉了的。
Yeah.
每次都是这样。
Just let it be. Just let
then
it be.
Last Friday, 我在 office 做工到at night 10 o'clock， 所以我回家以后usually 我有我会觉得很累 ，but that day 我觉得like很像很 energized 这样子，所以晚上我睡觉的时候我就想我要来听那个 Dharma talk， 我就开那个拜师你在
Thursday class,
Thursday class 你在讲这个self nature 的这个 talk 的时候我在 lie down 的时候在听然后我就 feel 到那个 heartbeat 就很 obvious 的就一直这样子在跳然后我就 let it be 然后慢慢的它就越来越 strong 越来越 strong strong 到它我整个那个 heartbeat 好像跑了上来在上面一直这样子 and then
what do you do
我 let it be 我没有去想我只是 let it be
你要懂得 relax relax is very important because the relaxation has to go in very deep you think you already relax but it's not relaxed enough so as you relax more then a lot of other thing will happen next time remember to relaxAlways remember the four support. Well, the relaxation procedure need to be repeated for all mind state later on. So as you develop the understanding, your listening become different. That's why I used to hint to some of you. This listening, you don't always have to use your conscious mind to listen.The conscious mind can listen with awareness from the mind base or from your nature. That's why you learn how to listen from here. You learn how to live from here. You learn how to understand things from here. That one will be one phase. That one itself will take you quite a while. Then after that, it will stabilize.Initially, like I mentioned last time, when you start, it will be like bits and pieces because it's like the brain is not connected. Because you are so used to using the brain staying at the forehead to listen. But as you listen from your heart, the gap, they will start to appear. Then it's like your consciousness and your awareness is not at the brain there. So it's like there is a gap.Like sometimes you cannot make up what you listen. Don't worry. No need to know. Because that one is knowledge from the thought. No need to know. So just continue to listen from the heart. Then as you continue to listen from the heart, this will stabilize. Stabilize until one day you realize that listening from the heart and the listening from the brain last time, no different. No different.Because the understanding has transformed. Then that listening is no more from the mundane mind. Later on it will happen. It is that nature become very different. Then it's listening from that. Then sometimes you can just silence everything. The awareness also no need to know. Just let it be. Then it will go in deep. That's why when it wants to meditate, just silence and let it meditate. Don't try to know anything.Just go into it. Then whatever happens, whenever you're listening to Dhamma or not, it will reach a point where you are just silent by itself. You just let it be. Because that listening from the nature, no words one. You may think you didn't listen, but actually the nature draws the energy, the vibration, the understanding, everything, it goes in already. You only need to relax, silent,aware and trust. Let the nature do. Finish. No need to do anything. The real meditation is trust. Let the nature develop the clear transformation and understanding. As this nature continues to develop the false support of trust, then you realize there is no thought involved, nothing to direct the meditation. Then just, there is just the awareness within. Then sometimes the awareness also ceases. Never mind, just let it be. But it will take a while before the cessation happens. But it depends. If your past is already very strong, you have done it before, then this cessation phase will come. It will show it to you, and you will pass through very fast. And sometimes you don't even know what this thing is, because it's like going through like something you had done before. So it's like something you're very familiar. It's like a revision process. Then you go back to the previous level very fast. Then from there you will continue again. So it depends on the individual. It depends on the condition also. So what is important is every time this thing happens, you just let it be. Then remember the four support. Relax into it and continue to silence. The more relaxed, the deeper the nature will go in. Then later on, as you are able to do this, you realize the awareness inside will be aware of what is happening inside. That the movement, the transformation, everything that happened inside, your awareness that is aware will know what is going on. Then all this will continue to move and transform, stage by stage. Different time, different thing. Then as it transforms, you will start to understand yourself. No need teacher, nothing. The understanding will unfold by itself, and you will know what this movement is all about. And later on, even nobody has taught you anything, nobody has spoken to you about this, or even the text will never write, your nature will understand. Because this is the doing that is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond words. The nature itself is doing. And this type of teaching at the moment is not available in the conditioned existential world. Some of them might have all this ability to do it, but the teaching is not available unless there is condition for them to teach and share. Because unless people can do it until that level, nobody can have the condition to bring about such teaching. So that's why I say you need condition for things to happen. So luckily today, there is condition. This nature can share a little bit more on this aspect. And this aspect will start to unfold because the condition has come. Many of the cultivator, and especially those Kayamita that has the faith, they will move very fast. Then as this thing happens, the consciousness will evolve again. It will be different again. And more things will happen. That's why you must have faith. The faith is very important. Sada, just relax, silent, away, and let the movement happen. Don't try to know. Don't try to even relate to anything. Later on, the understanding will come. As you go through life, as things happen, whatever that is meant to be will be, and the form and mind will keep on understanding, unfolding. Then when the Dhamma is being shared, when you reach the level of understanding, all this will become meaningful to you again. Then as you listen to the previous talk and all those things, you will start to understand. No wonder at that time you cannot understand. But as you go through all this transformation, then you will start to appreciate the deep understanding behind. Then all this movement you can relate, all this teaching you can relate. Otherwise you cannot relate. That's why a lot of this teaching is meant for enlightened beings. like I used to explain to you all the Mahayana Sutta, and even some of the Theravada Sutta. These are truth meant for enlightened being to understand. Because not until you awaken, you cannot understand the deep meaning. Because these are words. Words are spoken language, which is not the truth. But these words point towards the truth. This word can be expressed and bring out the truth, the meaning. That's why as you cultivate, these words will stand out. That's why like Huining, when he has his past, the moment he hears truth, his nature awaken and connect. That's how it happened. That's why for you all, as your cultivation progress, not until you transform, you cannot understand. This word got no meaning, not much meaning to you. But as you progress, the word has more and more meaning, more and more. Even you yourself already experienced this since the time you connect and within this many few years. All in, I think, 3 over years already, right? Huh? Huh? Is it 3 over years? I think so. I remember it was...
2014.
October, coming to 4 years. So, over this period, a lot of things will happen, and you will also come to understand how your understanding unfolds. It's just like last time, all this Mahayana teaching or whatever, you can't understand them. Then all of a sudden you understand. Then after you understand, you thought you have the understanding. Yes, you have the understanding. Your nature has the understanding. But it's just an understanding, understand, not wisdom. Like I say, wisdom connected to the form and mind. But this is not knowledge, understand not? That's why it's like Guang Qing Lao He Sang said. He said, people ask him, what is wisdom? 什么是智慧? He said, wisdom is very unique. It's an awakening. It's an understanding. Sometimes when it unfolds, the cultivator also may not know. Yes, the cultivator that is connected to the form and mind, yeah, may not even know that they already have the wisdom and the transformation. But the funny thing about wisdom is, he said, whenever they encounter a situation, the form and mind know what to do. 那就是智慧, he said. Yeah. So it's not a knowledge that you must remember in your memory. No. Like how to act, how to talk, how to speak. No. Because these are wisdom. Spontaneous understanding. You cannot go through the brain. The understanding manifests and it just acts through the understanding. That's why acting according to understanding is the real action. It's not acting according to memory or knowledge. You cannot always commit to memory and remember, oh, the Dhamma say this, Brother Theo say this, the Buddha say this, so I must act like that. No such thing. If you do that, you don't have the Dhamma. Your nature must be such, it doesn't depend on anything. Because wisdom is, if you have it, means you have it. Like I said, Yoniso Manasikara. You don't have means you don't have. You cannot learn to be wise. You can learn to be intelligent or smart. You cannot learn wisdom. Wisdom cannot be learned. Wisdom is an understanding. The understanding has to be awakened. You have to realize it. You have to insight into it. Then as you realize, you will go through a phase where you continue to reflect, contemplate, to stabilize that wisdom. Until that wisdom is very, very stable, then you not only can apply, you not only know how to use, you know how to even express it out and share it with the living beings. That is the stability of wisdom. During that phase, you can use anything in life to express Dhamma. Because Dhamma is everywhere, truth is everywhere. And you can relate them to mundane situation, condition, existence. That's why the Buddha, he teach differently. Because he is a Sammasambuddha. He has all knowing wisdom. And he has perfected them all. That's why as you continue to develop the cultivation, the perfection, as you continue to inherit your past nature and cultivation, it depends on your past cultivation, you will reach back to those levels very fast. Then from that level, you manifest, you become very different again. Then your understanding is different again. That's why all these are the possibility, the various type of possibility. Then cultivation is unending. Everyone is different. Every stage is different. Every individual and movements are different. Every condition is different. So all this, the nature will start to develop. That's why it is part of the whole Bodhisattva way cultivation until the very, very end. So always remember, don't try to know. Just do. Be sincere. Cultivate. Like Hui Ning say, follow instruction. Don't try to know. Just do. The nature will do. The nature will understand. Be clear of what you are trying to develop. You are trying to develop understanding and wisdom. That's it. Nothing else. And wisdom and understanding can only come through the internal movement, the transformation, the silent mind, the direct seeing, the stability of the silent mind, the stability of that nature. That's why you have to connect to that nature until it is very clear. That's why liao liao jian xing, that one is very important. Then you will be able to reach the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development. Then you will understand that all these are not real. Then the cultivation becomes different. You can renounce samsara and just cultivate the perfection and complete them all. That's how the cultivation can unfold. Very good. Sadhu to you. Rejoice. Anything else you want to add?
Brother, 我还没有 explain, 还没有讲. 那时我来到的时候，我听到那个心跳。 Actually, 我每次可以听到心跳， but they are 很 strong， 就 很 clear。 那个心跳就在这个中间，这样它整个上来，我没有管它，因为我每次可以听到心跳，我就 let it be。 它就
That's why 你要 remember, not only let it be, let it be is very important. Means don't interfere, but relax. Because I already told you the four support. This phase, relaxation phase, is very important. There are many levels for support to awareness-based meditation. So this four support is very important. The first one is relax. Relax got many levels. You have to relax into every phase. Then after that, just maintain awareness, or sati. Then this one has to be for as long as you can. That's why 24 hours. Then after that, what you should do now is trust. After you relax, don't do anything. Don't even want to know. Don't even want to arise the thought. Just relax, silent. And let the nature do. Then a lot of things will happen. Then whatever that happened, later on you have to use word to describe that. Because inside there is no words, nothing. So remember this. You have improved, but don't be excited by all the different phenomena and movement. of course you will experience all those things, you know, like you say, become very clear, because it's like you become excited when this thing is happening, which is part of the way, good. But to progress, you must always remember the four support, otherwise you will get stuck. Not to say stuck in a way that you cannot progress anymore, because the understanding is already there. But the refinement of the understanding, the cultivation, they were like stagnant because you don't know how to go deeper and break free from those stages that you are going through. That's why in that sense, you need guides, you need teachers, you need great beings who has gone through to explain all this to you. Otherwise, you can find it yourself too, but it will take you a long time. It will take you a long time to find out all this. Then later on, let's say after this form and mind gone, you may not have the condition to meet up with another higher being that is of that nature. Then you have to do everything yourself. You have to find out yourself. You have to progress yourself. Then when there is no sasana, your nature has to search yourself. You understand? That's why this window is very unique, where you can have all this, you determine to develop the clear understanding and let all this go in. Then in future, it will help you, help your nature in a big way. Because this is the window where all these understanding are there, possible. Then when you have faith, it will all go in. Then later on, even subsequent life or long after this segmented life, the understanding that come later on, it will connect back to all this understanding. It's just like you have seen them before, you heard them before. Then maybe in future, you have the condition to do it, then you will move differently. Yeah. It's just like in the past, after my nature have all this cultivation, this understanding, then it know how to make the vow. Then when it make the vow, that vow is a very unique vow. That's an adhitana. Then this line, even this line, this segmented line, when it come, the vow can bring forth the guide, the teacher. Yeah. They may not have understanding as what I have, but they have certain things that my nature need. That's why the vow will bring them and I will meet up with them. Yeah. Like my last guy, my teacher, he don't teach me Dhamma. He just show me the gateway, that's it. Yeah. Then the rest of the thing, I never really learn from him. I developed the understanding through my own nature, from the past and all those things. Because the path that this nature moves is very clear, very different. That's why it moves in a different way. But it needs those, what they call, the necessary requisite for that movement. Because what he showed to me is the last one, trust. And because of that, I saved 10 to 15 years. And this segmented line, this 10 to 15 years, make a lot of difference. Because it speed up the transformation. That's why I have the condition to share all this with you all, is because of what happened. If it's not because of that, by the time I have this present understanding, I would have been 80 years old or 70 plus. At least. So all this is possible because this nature connect early. It's almost as early as it can be. It's more or less like Sakyamuni. Age 35, it start to inherit and completely connect the whole thing. And not easy to connect before the age of 35. Not easy. Most people would have been in the like prime of their career or life. Most people may not be interested in Dhamma during this age. And most people will be like going to working life. maybe 10 years after graduation, building up your career, building up your life and all those things. Then even if it's those serious cultivators, they may not have the condition for such understanding. Their path may not unfold in this way. They may also not have the condition to meet up with such teaching, such understanding. That's why a lot of things you will come to understand not easy. you already have your parami. That's what I used to share with a lot of you. You are unique. You are not the simple type of cultivator. 不简单, you all have your past without you knowing it. That's why you can be born during the sasana. You can have condition to become a human being, to encounter the Buddha Dharma, then to meet up with my nature and all those things. Not easy, I tell you. Then you have the faith, the sincerity, the perseverance. You will benefit tremendously. You will progress. Then the blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, read through it, develop the clear understanding and vow, adhitan. Then the Bodhisattva vow, take it seriously. You will progress very fast, very differently. Okay, yeah. You want to add in anything?
那天晚上 after 听完那个 talk, actually 就是那个 就很像那个整个 nature 跑出来听这样, 它跟你的那个声音就在相应两个, then after that 就很精神啊, 我到 morning 4点都还没有睡觉,
sometimes so, you like no need to sleep,
我整个 midnight 到 I think 到5点啊, 我都还没有睡, 就一直很精神, then after 1 week,
but remember to relax, that one very important, relax,
After 一个礼拜, 我就 一直在 recall, 在 contemplate, 我们好像慢慢开始觉得, 这个 form and mind 就是一个 vehicle 罢了,
yeah.
你就是让它去一直去 unfold, and
that's
then,
how you make use of it to cultivate, to develop the understanding, to use it to live life and understand all this. Because there are many things that you can develop understanding of the form and mind. It's an essential aspect of karma, the karmic nature. Then you have to understand this vehicle and do very, very clearly. That's why this understanding, this stability is needed. Especially this line, this segmented line, so that in future you come, you are different already, completely. But all this understanding will just come back to you, and you will understand them on your own, even without sasana. That's why this line, my nature come, nobody teach me all this. The two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind, what is this form and mind? Even until today, hardly any teaching can teach about the form and mind in such clarity, detail and understanding. You go and check, you can find. Even all the Mahayana Sutta and all those things, they don't teach you in such clear manner. They mention it like the fifth patriarch, just mention like that, finish. They didn't even tell you what this thing is. Karmically conditioned out for you to come to this existential world. They didn't explain. And how the Bodhisattva vow can take effect, they didn't explain. And how the form and mind, the mundane mind, even as a arahant or a bodhisattva, after the form and mind pass away, without ignorance, without delusion, there is actually no rebirth consciousness, because there is no avijja. Then how to come back? Nobody knows. Nobody can explain all this. You go and check. The Bodhisattva way that people teach is so different. They cannot explain all this. They can't even tell you what this is. They can tell you the vows and all those things. But how many can express it, explain to you clearly what these things are? Very, very few. So these are the very unique condition that can unfold and manifest, because this window is very unique. And a lot of you all have the condition. Otherwise, you won't be around. You won't be here. Otherwise, the website won't come out. The book won't come out. And all this, I tell you, is going to unfold for quite a while. Yeah. Even after all form and mind gone, this teaching, this understanding is going to benefit the world in a very great way. Cultivator who know how to use it will evolve another, what they call, another aspect of understanding. It's like a new unfolding to go this way, the Bodhisattva way. Because most of the, what they call, the growth of the Dhamma are like in stages, like what Mahayana has evolved through Hui Ning. After Hui Ning, the six patria. After that, you don't have much like breakthrough. Do you realize the breakthrough, phenomenal breakthrough? You don't hear anymore. Like the scientists, last time during the early days, after World War II, then when all these scientists, they know they are very useful, all the developed nations, the big five powers, superpower, they try to gather them. Then now they use their understanding to actually build the technology and all those things. Then you realize, like science, first, you have all this physics, chemistry, biology, and other things. Even. Then you got this great scientist who come out with new understanding. So initially it was like Einstein came. Then there was major breakthrough after Einstein theory of relativity, E equals to mc squared, and all those things. Then later on, other scientists, they also have quite a lot of breakthrough. Then now, you not only have physics and other things, you got this high-tech boom. High-tech boom, the internet technology, the intranet technology, and the technology of what they call that field that is totally, like they call it, the green field. A lot of new things will happen after the understanding come. So all this possibility, our Dhamma is the same, the Bodhisattva way. After you have all this understanding, it's like the opening up of a lot of possibility, a lot of green field, a lot of cultivation possibility that is completely not heard before. It will start to appear. And it will give idea to new generation of beings and cultivator to come up with more and more of this understanding. And there will be future breakthrough too by other beings. After you have all this understanding, you will know how to evolve different type of understanding. So all this is going to continue. It depends on how long this civilization can continue to flourish, to evolve. If humanity don't destroy themselves, our planet will be beautiful. You don't need too long. Maybe the next 10,000 years will see tremendous happening and changes. Even the next few hundred years will be very, very significant. Then 1,000 years is fantastic if the world don't degenerate. The human evolution and consciousness continue. Because we have reached an era where the transformation can be very fast. Because now it's not only science and technology is fast. The consciousness is also moving. Understanding is also unfolding. And many things can happen. And it's going into a, they call it the new world. the new evolution. So all these are real beautiful happenings. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, still got 20 minutes. Huh? Okay, yeah. So your part, always remember, it's beautiful, it's good. Yeah? So let it unfold. Then whatever happens, remember the four support. And remember not to know. Don't try to know. When the condition is there for you to contemplate and reflect, do it, just do it. Then the understanding will stabilize. Like I said, the contemplation and reflection is to stabilize the understanding so that you can express it out later on, so that you can use it to share. Nothing else. Because the understanding is actually part and parcel of that nature's wisdom. Because when the form and mind awaken, this form and mind that awaken will understand this wisdom. And this wisdom is connected to it, because it is connected, that's why it awakened, it understands, it knows what this thing is. But this thing doesn't follow you eternally, you understand? No. This thing can become your perfection in the spiritual nature. But the moment this segmented life is gone, this wisdom follows, it's finished. That's why every life you come, the form and mind have to start all over again. Develop the condition to connect. Then everything starts again. That's why I say when there is no sasana, all this become very difficult. But if you have this vow, this understanding and all this special understanding born of this condition, this window, you become different. The way you come, whether got sasana or no sasana, your nature is different, because this understanding will follow you life after life. That's why this type of cultivation is very different. You don't waste time. And your nature evolves beautifully, transforms very beautifully. It's a new way of unfolding things. It's understanding the secret of form and mind, that nature, the perfection and all those things. It's a complete understanding of the totality that can give rise to all this understanding. Very funny today. Like I speak so much, I share so much, and yet time doesn't move. You realize or not? Normally by the time I say so many things, already 6 o'clock or over already. My this smartphone is not wrong. Is it 5:40? Correct or not? 5:44. Correct, Because just now you meditate half an hour, we stop at 5, you know. So all these things has been shared and unfold, and yet the timeline doesn't move. A number of sessions last time also say the timeline didn't move. Like a lot of things that needs to be unfold will just unfold, and you will just come out. I hope it's recorded. No blinking on.
Brother, can I ask a question? Just now you were saying to stabilize our understanding. Yes. I don't know, I can listen with my silent mind. Listen to your talk with silent mind. I understand, but after that, I don't know, when up to here...
No need to remember one.
I can't understand sometimes when you're here.
That's why I say the understanding is not something that you must commit to memory. No. The understanding is already there. Once the nature understands, it will understand. But your brain may not understand. Your mind may not understand. That's why sometimes the brain may have doubt. You can speak now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming back to, you said, for example, right view has to be understood, or you say duality has to be understood. No sound. Okay. So we have to contemplate and reflection on that.
Contemplate and reflection is after you come out of the meditation.
Yes.
The daily life. Whatever that arise and manifest, you can relate to Dhamma. Because when you have the understanding already, you realize, like what I used to share, life itself is your greatest teacher. You can learn a lot of things from life. Where everything is Dhamma, like I used to tell you. Dhamma is everywhere. Why can't the living being see? For those who see, they always see. Then you realize everything behaves that way. Everything has that characteristic. Then after that, you can relate to everything that arise and pass away. Then as you reflect and contemplate, this understanding becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Stable. It's stabilized. Then later on, without you knowing it, you can express it out. You can even share with people when there is condition. Like recently you realize you can ask a lot of questions that normal people cannot ask because you have gone through the cultivation, the silent mind. You can listen from your heart and all those things. Then what you are facing is like what earlier on Song faced. Because he tried to use knowledge to understand. Then every time he asked me, why all these things, like, after a while, like, I don't know anything. Will he try to retain as memory? I said, no, wisdom is not like that. That's why I said, don't try to know. Don't even try to remember anything. Just let it be. Gone means gone. But the nature that listen, understand, is not through the brain. It's not through the words. It's not through the mundane mind. Mundane mind cannot understand. But these are the fine wisdom, the vibration, the pure energy that actually manifests with the Dhamma. That's why when you're silent and listen from here, sometimes like you didn't listen, it's already listening. Because this one is the nature's way of listening. Because it receives vibration. Just like you can sense wisdom energy, then you can develop the ability to draw them because of your affinity, because of your vow, because of your nature, because you have developed that cultivation. It's just like I say, it depends on how big your cup is to receive the pure Dhamma. The understanding. The Dhamma is shared equally among all. There is no favoritism. But how much you receive depends on your cultivation, depends on your understanding. If you are not ready, you can only receive so much. If you are ready, you will draw more. That is what cultivation is all about. That's why don't try to know. Just do. Have faith. Develop the sincerity, the faith, and persevere. Just do. And rejoice. Always rejoice. Have love. Cultivate virtue. Cultivate wisdom, understanding. That's why love, compassion, and wisdom. That's it. The whole of cultivation is just love, compassion, and wisdom. Just virtue and wisdom. That's why they call it the bipeds. You know what is biped? You may think it's the two-legged one. The biped refers to enlightened being, the two-footed enlightened being. It can be human being, because most human beings are biped. Then biped means they have two very special cultivation. They cultivate virtue and wisdom. That's a perfection of virtue, perfection of wisdom. Nothing else free. The moment you have wisdom, your mind free, liberate. The moment you have wisdom, you will have virtue. Because the wise one will have virtue. Without wisdom, there is no virtue. The virtue that people do, practice doing good, is not virtue at all. You understand now? Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. It's only wisdom that brings forth the free mind that can cultivate virtue, because through wisdom it manifests virtue. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. Virtue cannot come about because you don't understand. But the moment you understand, virtue becomes automatic. You can't do a lot of things already. The understanding will manifest and unfold the virtue in you. That's why your nature will have the whole embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. And what is Noble Eightfold Path? It starts with right view, leading to virtue. Right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And the constant arising of four right effort to improve yourself, to refine upon yourself. Then after that, the stability of mindfulness, the stability of samadhi, the direct seeing, the insight into phenomena, the universal characteristic, to arise the wisdom, the unfolding of the spiritual faculty. From the five spiritual faculty, it will lead to the seven factors of enlightenment. Then later on, all the 37 factors will be there. But the key are the seven major factors of enlightenment. So all this will manifest, and you see them unfolding in you. So this is the real cultivation when you have them. Now you understand. So your question on contemplation is, do it after the meditation.
Is it thought-based?
No.
No, still?
No, with your understanding, it will give rise to understanding. Because this understanding will have the direct seeing. Then as you become more and more mindful throughout the day, mindful, you hardly any thought, understand or not? You are most of the time aware. That's how you can see things as they are. There are a lot of movement, like I say, whether it is physical phenomena. Physical means your kaya. That mental phenomena or nature's phenomena, you start to see them because you are heedful, you are mindful, you are aware. Then the characteristics of nature are everywhere. Truth is everywhere. Dhamma is everywhere. Then everything you can relate. That's why when you reflect and contemplate, your understanding becomes so different, so beautiful. Then everything is like so clear to you. That's why later on you can even express it out and give example using your own words, using your own understanding. You don't have to follow anybody. You don't have to copy anything. Then whenever you see truth, whatever religion, you will understand. This is beautiful. These are beautiful truth. It doesn't discriminate anymore. Well, truth is just truth. It's not your truth, my truth, or concept or idea of truth. Truth is. The reality is. That's why that nature that understand will understand. And the understanding is beyond words. You can describe it in your own way. But when you have realized it, when you have seen it, whatever word you use, the enlightened one will understand you. They say, yes, this is how it is. Then they will rejoice. And you will also understand in your own way. That's why wisdom and Dhamma will unfold beautifully when your nature really has the understanding. Okay? Sadhu to you. Still got 5 minutes. Any more? Anything to add? I can have a drink. Maybe today I will use this as a final recap for those who have the condition to understand. You see, what we have gone through is I have been trying to summarize to you all of the cultivation, the teaching and the understanding. But the deeper aspect of the cultivation, which is the transformation aspect that will unfold, like Brother Song and Adeline's question, These are only for people who has done it, then they can ask. Then the nature can share, otherwise it cannot come out. Because these are the teaching that is meant for cultivator, true cultivator. So what I will go through is, I will summarize to you what you have to do. Develop daily mindfulness. Okay, that one very important, until you become very mindful, heedful, until the silent mind become very stable. Don't try to know, just do. Then listen from the heart, stay at the heart until you locate the gateway. Until the gateway become very clear to you, until you can relax the force support, every of the energy, whatever yin and yang, and let it go to your gateway, the heart. That is the beginning, the first stage. Then when that thing starts to unfold, just continue to relax, aware, silent. Don't try to know, and let it happen, manifest. Then after that, as this stabilize, come out into life, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, reflect, contemplate, and develop understanding. Then stabilize that daily mindfulness again, because there are many stages that you will go through. Then experience all the various possibility of things happening. This nature cannot describe everything unless you have condition, unless you reach that point of cultivation and all those things. There are a lot of things during the retreat, sometimes got condition I share because the higher beings want to know and all those things. So it's good to listen to the old sharing, especially those that happen at the retreat and all those things. Then also our six patriarch sutta, the diamond sutta and all those things, the earlier sharing. So all this will help you to be in tune with Dhamma. When you are throughout the day ever mindful, heedful, in tune with Dhamma, you will progress very fast. Because this Dhamma will continuously unfold. And Dhamma is the real food of cultivation. Without truth, without Dhamma, your nature cannot rejoice, your nature cannot unfold, your nature cannot go in deep. It's just like you lack the proper ingredient for you to grow, for you to become beautiful. So Dhamma is like the real food for you to draw on. Then your cultivation will progress. Then your nature will unfold together with it. So what you need is faith, sincerity, and finally just do, persevere. Don't try to know. Forget about what the thought is trying to tell you or question you. These are all from the mundane mind. These are duality, knowledge, Dhamma, not the real thing. The real thing is understanding them, penetrating them, awakening to them. Then you won't go wrong. Okay? Then let us end. Let us do sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, exactly 6 o'clock. So we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you all can make your aspiration. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that this nature of ours has developed. Then may this wholesomeness be shared by all. May all beings share and rejoice in this wholesomeness. Starting with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya.
อิดังเมญญาทินังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุญาตโยอิดังเมญญาทินังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุญาตโยอิดังเมญญาทินังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุญาตโยอิมินาปุญญังคาเมนะมาเมบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวานิวานาปาติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค you can pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Right now, I'm going to thank you.